Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Vayakhel. Parshas Vayakhel, along the lines of the Parshos related to the construction of the Mishkan, throws out another few psukim about not violating Shabbos. Says the Torah in the beginning of Vayakhel, Perek Lamed, Hey, Psukim Aleph and Beis, Vayakhel, Moshe, Kol HaDas B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer Lehem. Eila, the Mishra, Zivah, Hashem, Lasso, So Moshe gathers the entire congregation. And in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, "Sheishes yamim te'aseh melacha." We're going to pick up on that tense of te'aseh. For 6 days, your work shall be done. Uvayom ha-shvi'i, but on the seventh day, yilachem kodesh. It's a holy day. Shabbat Shabbaton, Lashem kol osev melacha. You must. So why does Moshe need to remind us to not desecrate Shabbos in the context of the construction of the Mishkan? Says Rashi, "Hiktim lehem azar Shabbos letzivim leches haMishkan." So here Moshe is about to actually tell them how and what to do regarding the actual construction of the Mishkan. Whereas in Parshas Truma, Moshe was told the game plan from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Parshas Vayakhel, Moshe actually is going to congregate with the congregation, and they're actually going to start doing the actual manual labor, Bezalel at the helm. So before they get the instructions to build, what does Moshe need to tell them? Says Rashi, Lomar she'ena doches haShabbos. Although what we're about to do is extremely holy, it will house the Shechina, etc., it will not be performed on Shabbos. As holy as the Mishkan is, we do not build it on Shabbos. Very nice, famous idea. However, this evening, we will discuss the sugya known as construction on Shabbos. A lot of us, I would imagine, have hired workers to do some work on our homes. And what would you say about them performing work on your property, on your behalf, on Shabbos Kodesh? So I thought, in light of the Parsha, whereas we are told not to construct the Mishkan on Shabbos, so in a similar vein, so can we allow a non-Jewish contractor to do his job on your property, on our property, on Shabbos Kodesh? What do we think? Yes, no? And Smichas Chaver was just covered. Okay, good. So hopefully you'll have what to contribute. The answer is no.
If it's his timetable,
oh,
and he's doing it for himself, and it's not right in your community, it's all for him, then it might be in your house.
Well, again, Peter has many homes. He didn't say which one. Carol is a real estate agent, and for all we know, when we don't see Peter in Shulon Shabbos, so he's hanging out in some other house outside the Tchum. So Peter argues, a lot of terms have been thrown out. Vitzkablanus, excellent, that's a huge factor. Says Peter, if it's not in the community, maybe if it's outside the Tchum. Is that you mentioned the Tchum, or you just said if it's outside the community, that might make a big difference. Oh, Mars Ayin will make a difference. Very good. Oh, very good. Stewart points out there's a concept in the Torah known as Av Shemilsa, that there's an overall desecration of the spirit of Shabbos. It could lead to Chilul Shabbos, a sign of the spirit of the day. Good. Okay. So does anyone want me to email these Makoros before I go on Stewart? And you guys want to look along? I have more to contribute to the Mar Makomo sheet before it's 100% finalized. But if you want to follow along right now, I'll just email it out. AB Stewart DCarp at Optimum. At Optimum. All right. So you can look along. All right. So the Or HaChaim, in addition to Rashi's Pshat, Jerome, do you want me to send you? Whatever you want. I teach it in a way where, you don't need them. If you want them, you have them. Jerome, you can call me out if I misquote anything. I appreciate that. A yeki is always a yek. Baruch Hashem. So says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Do you know what the Torah says? It doesn't just say don't do work on the seventh day. It says to do work on the 6 days. So the first idea, very Or HaChaim flavored, the true to form, says the Or HaChaim. Well, maybe this is hinting to the fact that if you keep Shabbos, only then will the work of your 6 days be successful. Right? I mean, they go hand in hand. You keeping Shabbos is mashpia on the productivity of the 6 days of Malach. Meaning, if you think that you're going to work for 6 days and not keep Shabbos and still be successful, All right, but that's a nice Or HaChaim for a drasha, maybe for another time. But here it is. Unbelievable Or HaChaim. Oh, Yitzhak, because of Asur Melechas Shabbos, Bein Al Yedei Atzmo, Bein Al Yedei Goy. The Torah does not say that you shall not do Melecha on the seventh day. Rather, it says that what? Sheishes Yamim Te'aseh Melecha. That means work is allowed to be done for you during the 6 days of the week. Says the Orchaim, why is there a tseire under the tuf, the lashon of te'ase melacha? That is hinting to the scenario when melacha is being done on your behalf, namely when a goy is performing melacha for you, known as amir la'akum. So the Torah is hinting to the concept that not only are you not allowed to do work on Shabbos, but work may also not be done on your behalf on Shabbos. Now, we generally assume... We generally assume that Amir La'akum is in the category of an Isser Midrabanan, and it is not an Isser Midoraisa. However, here the Orach Chaim is quoting the Michilta, Amir Lagoy Asura Davar Torah. Now, if the Orach Chaim is speaking halachically, I'm not sure. Again, it's only one of about three different Perushim he's explaining in his Drasha on the Pasuk. However, yes, under the Torah umbrella, is there a concept that Amir La'akum is a din d'oraisa? Absolutely. And the Orach Chaim is saying that might even be alluded to in this Pasuk, because the Torah says te'aseh instead of ta'aseh. So te'aseh, it shall be done for you. So a goy can build your house for you. It can be done for you. Te'aseh, Sunday through Friday. But even the te'aseh cannot be done on Shabbos. You might have thought that, listen, if it's done on my behalf, what's the big deal? No, we know there's a concept of Amira La'akum. Okay, so this sugya is a loaded sugya of when someone is a kablan doing their job, the classic scenario where you give your clothing to the dry cleaners on Friday, you pick it up on Monday, you give your car to the mechanic on Friday, you pick it up on Monday. You don't tell him to do anything on Shabbos, you just wanted to get the job done. That is called a kablan. As opposed to a schir yom, who's paid by the hour, by the day, per diem, we assume that a kablan is someone who just is paid to get the job done, and we don't care whether he does it on Shabbos or not, and that will be mutter. Classic machlokas beis Shammai versus beis Hillel in the Mishnah Maseches Shabbos Yedzayin Amid Beis. Beis Shammai omrim ein nosnin oros la'avdan. You may not give a tanner, someone who works with leather, you cannot hand in the hides on Erev Shabbos. You cannot give the kalim to a koves, to a launderer. Wow. You can only give it to the non-Jewish worker if he has enough time to get the job done before Shabbos. However, says Beis Hillel, matirin im hashemesh. As long as you hand it in while it's still daytime, it's okay. You have to give it to him while it's still data, matirim im hashemesh.
And
totally fine, right? So halachically speaking, we assume that as long as there is enough time, not on Shabbos hours, and you don't instruct him to do it on Shabbos, totally mutter. So again, for example, if you give the laundromat, whatever, the dry cleaning, your suit on Friday afternoon at 2 p.m., even if you pick it up at Sunday morning at 10 a.m., that is mutter, because I remember I asked the dry cleaners in Teaneck, how long does the cycle actually take? He said, an hour and a half. So even on a winter Shabbos, when Shabbos is at 4:15, whatever, so, 2 o'clock is good. An oil change probably only takes around an hour, a half hour. I asked the mechanic that question also once upon a time. Uh-oh.
So what happens if you bring your car to the mechanic, say, a half hour before Shabbos,
right, yeah, so halachically, I think we say that even though they are closed on Sunday, right, they could be opened on Sunday if they want to. Yeah, so it's their own decision. You're not telling him. The only issue is that you can't tell him to do it. So as long as it's his own decision, it's okay, yeah.
Yeah, what about if it's a Jewish agreement? Now, aside from the Neiva, which could also apply, if it's a Jewish cleaner, could you give it to them on a Friday and you'll get it after Shabbos. Not after Shabbos. You'll give him the fish yasa. So it's not.
Yeah, lifnei iver. Yikes.
We're not doing olacha because of it's not the Messiah.
I don't know. Yeah, because you know in Yom HaTzmut, right? If it's on the later part of the year, there's a lot of that stuff. We don't put people in the. I don't know. I don't remember learning about that. Meaning setting up a Jew to violate Shabbos. Yikes, that's interesting. It's probably I don't know. Yeah, but you're not telling him again. You're not telling him. You're not. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Right. It's not ringing any bells that it's usher. I don't know, AB. It's a cool question. It's a sad question. But I don't know. I have to remember. I have to look into it. All right. Similar Gemara in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, Chaf Aleph, and Beis. There's two major sources in Shas for the topic we're going to address this evening. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer. So let's say you own a bathhouse and you want it to be open on Shabbos. So you have a good idea. What are you going to do? Rent it out to your non-Jewish friend so he can have it open for you on Shabbos. No, not okay. Because it's still attributed to you. So he's going to do it. Because he's going to work it as normal. Everyone's going to ascribe that work to you. They're going to say, oh, well, Mandelstam's bathhouse is open on Shabbos. Aval sadeu lo v'dikocham emayin. Now, in contrast, it's a crucial line for this evening, where you have a sharecropper, right, where the actual employee, the worker, the guy, the non-Jew that I'm working with actually benefits. Let's say if there's a situation where he gets a large percentage of the actual income, that's okay. Shari maitaima arisa. The sharecropper is simply doing his own sharecropping, meaning it's not like he's working my field for me. He's doing his own thing, meaning the sharecropper is non-Jewish. He gets a very nice percentage of the produce. So when he's working on Shabbos and you look at him work, what are you seeing? You're not seeing someone work on behalf of a Jew. What are you seeing, rather? A sharecropper what? Working for himself. And that is not so bad. So the factors we have learned in Shas are crucial. Namely, we have a machlokes in Shas about giving goyim enough time to perform a malacha before Shabbos. And we saw the shita of Shimon Gamliel, namely, that if there's a concept of the goy doing it for himself, it's not a problem. So there is a tosfos both on the spot in Maseches Shabbos and on the spot in Maseches Avodah Zarah over there that quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Tan and the Re, earth-shattering, groundbreaking, pun intended, Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. In Maseches Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, here it is. Mikan, again, Einosin Oris La'avdan. Remember what Beis Shammai said, you cannot give the leather, the hides, to the tanner to work on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel said, it's okay. Mikan Hayanir L'Rabbeinu Tam. Mahatir ayde kablanus nachri livnos b'shabbos. In the same way that I could give the leather to the tanner to work for me on Shabbos, says Rabbeinu Tam, I can also give a non-Jewish man a job to build a house for me on Shabbos. And he says, listen, there's another gemara on Shabbos that we allow people to put the chita, the wheat in the millstone before the Rechaim, right? Before Shabbos, it's fine. Why would the Reed disagree with that? Why would anyone disagree? It's a very, very compelling argument, no? That in the same way I could give my car to the mechanic, I could give my leather to, you know, the tanner. So why would anyone disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and say, no, asking a non-Jew to build your house is different. It's your house. It's very public. By the way, you guys know about Stuart's recent article. Everyone knows about Hakira. I dropped your name today. Where did I drop your name? Stuart, where did I drop your name today? I was trying to sound cool and intelligent. I was in Passaic recently. Let's just say I dropped Stuart's name today. There was some serious name dropping today. I forgot why, but I felt good doing it. Okay, here we go. Let's go. So, Tosfos, high circles. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. So, Rabbeinu Tam again is quoted. He brings many rayas, and one of his rayas, again, is this line over here that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Shita. So he paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that in the same way that the aris, the sharecropper can say, "Listen, I'm just doing my job. I'm not doing anything for the Jew." So too, Yisrael who wants the goy to build his house, bekablanus. As long as the goy is paid to finish the job, afilu b'Shabbos. You know, in fact, Rabbeinu Tam says building house is even better. Because by a field, the non-Jew splits the profit with the Jew. Buy a house, 100% of the profit goes to the goy. So says Rabbeinu Tam, beautiful. Who disagrees with the Ri? Rabbeinu Yitzchak in Tosfos says, absolutely not. The Kablanus, the bias, usher. And he disagrees with all the proofs of Rabbeinu Tam. And he says, you know what? No way. When you have a concept over here, says the Ri, what's his main idea? Velo damil ovid kochavim ha'osim malacha biyadayim. You know why? Exactly what Stewart said. Aval bebinyan bias regilus lischor midi yom yom. Not everyone's going to look and think that it was a situation of kablan. So let's say Robert sees people working on my property on Shabbos. What might Robert conclude? That I'm paying the non-Jewish workers by day. And that's a big, big no-no. I can't pay a non-Jew to do something for me for Saturday. So if people are going to look at workers on my house, says the Re, people might not think that it's Kablanus. People might mistakenly conclude that it's a Schir Yom. So who can now combat that and defend the Bein Tam? Right, nowadays, how are contractors paid? Of course, by the job, right? Has anyone ever heard of such a thing, of paying contractor by day? Maybe not just Israel, right? When you pay Israel, you pay them by the day, pay them by the job.
No, but it might be that the contractor itself, if I'm there, I pay the contractor by the job. The contractor itself might pay his
poor leave. Excellent. That comes up in the Shuvah Ramosha. So David points out that although I'm paying the contractor for the job's finished product, the contractor himself might be paying his own worker day by day, and that's absolutely...
That's okay.
Oh, but that's not my problem, says Rabbi Weintraub. Very good.
What about you have a building, you have people who work for the building, they're paid by the hour.
Right, so the people actually working in the building who are not even hired by me are b'schirei yom, right? So it looks shady enough. All right, so how do we paskin on this machlokas? Says the Shulchan Aruch and Orchaim Reish Mem Dal Tzav. So you're allowed to make a deal with a non-Jew to do a job for him, for yourself. I'm going to pay you whatever it is. So even though I'd say to the non-Jew, listen, I need you to fix my car and I'll pay you for the job, totally mutter. Only b'tzina. Only in private. Shein makir makol shezu malacha hanasah b'shabbos al yisraeli. Aval im ha'isa yedua umufar semes. If it's out in the public, aser she'ara esa eino yehudi osek eini yodea shekotzatz. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak and Tosfos, namely, the fellow Jews in the neighborhood might conclude that I hired the non-Jew not as a kablon, but rather as a schir yom. So if it's building my house or cutting my grass, if it's in the community, the onlookers are going to mistakenly conclude that it's a schir yom. Who here can be a little chutzpahdik and say that it's mutter, even according to Shulchan Aruch, to have people build my house on Shabbos? Because what is Shulchan Aruch? What's the whole chashash? We're afraid that what?
The Jewish neighbors
are going to what? Think that it's really a schir yom.
Maris Ayin or chashash?
Ah, very good. It sounds a lot like Maris Ayin.
And not chashash.
I totally hear what you're saying. Well, define chashad, though. Chashad is that they're... Yeah, it's more like chashad. I mean, people are going to be suspicious of me, not like they're going to think this is permissible. No, more chashad, right. So why would it be mutter nowadays? Because let's say you see someone working on my property on Shabbos or a guy cutting my grass on Yontif. What are you going to know? What's going to be abundantly clear to you?
You didn't hire him.
Yeah, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Sam, Billy, Joel, everyone knows that you don't get, you don't pay your whatever.
Landscaper.
Your landscaper by the day. I guess that's kind of not true anymore. Wait, wait, wait. You pay him per...
You pay him per...
Wait a minute. Hold on. You pay him for the month. Like, oh yeah, you pay him all... It's not that. It's not the day. He gives you the invoice all 4 Mondays of the month or whatever. So that's not Schir Yom, right? It's the lump sum, right? I mean, whatever. Yeah, it's well, the job. He wasn't hired for the day. He could have come on a Tuesday. He could have come on a Monday. See, yeah, the month. It's Havla. Of course it happens. It happens all the time. The landscaper, the guy who cut your grass.
The landlord is responsible for the landscaping.
Uh-huh.
So one day the landlord called me and said the landscaper is going to come tomorrow. That was on Friday.
Very good.
And I actually asked him to look at this, but not because I thought it was on Friday. I didn't want people to walk in my land on my backyard on Shabbat.
Yeah, so you didn't want to do because... Is not convenient for you, but also maybe if you're renting, it might be different. I mean, what if people get, you're not the one who hires, so it's different. Right. Oh, so we'll get there. We'll get. Oh, yeah. It is now. I'm setting it up. Yeah. Very good. There. So Stuart's pointing out that any loud noise on your property, any loud noise, always us here. Yeah. So. All right. So let's see some more makoros. So the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Ri, namely that it's usur because people are going to suspect me of having violated Shabbos for hiring him for the day. Okay, says the Rama, Vafilu imdar ben ovdi kochavim. What if I don't live among Jews? Still usur. Why? Because guests come to me for Shabbos, or people in my own home will see it. Abba, why is the guy cutting grass on Shabbos, right? You have to realize that everyone's watching, right? And the Shulchan Aruch concludes, Vim ha'isa ha'malacha chutz l'tchum, v'gam in ir acheres besoch tchumo shel makom, and it's like forbidden to be there on Shabbos, then it's mutter. Finally, the Shulchan Aruch caves and says, if there's no chashash, there's no problem. I.e., meaning even the Ri would concede to Rabbeinu Tam that the whole problem is only about chashad, meaning inherently there's no problem for a goy to do your job for you on Shabbos if it's up to him, meaning it's his decision to do his job on his own watch. So Rav Solovsky has a shiur on why you Torah listen to this on this topic, and Rav Ephraim Glatt has a shiur on this topic on why you Torah that I listen to in preparation for this shiur, and I would highly recommend both of them. They both focused a little bit differently on different inyanim. And Rabbi Sobolovsky had a congregant or a Talmud who went to him and said he had owned land or a building project in Newark. And let's say Goyishville in Newark. There are no Jews anymore in Newark. So Rabbi Sobolovsky felt that in that case, it was like this last category in the Shulchan Aruch, that it was like chutz l'tchum, chutz l'tchum, chutz l'tchum. There was no tchum even connecting. You know, every direction you were going to measure from, these buildings were out of sight, out of from Jew sight at least, and no one was going to be choshesh anyone. So we do have a concept where it's mutter. However, the practical shayla, let's try to narrow in on, is well, what if it's mamish in the hub of town? It certainly rubs us the wrong way. There's no question about the fact that a crane, a loud drill, is just so not what we want to be experiencing on our property on Shabbos. However, let's again, we don't want to say things are usser if they're not actually usser. And I'll preface with the following detail that we're all aware of. Construction work is very hard to go smoothly because people don't always finish the job. You know, when a contractor is actually on your property, and you actually get through the phone, like you've been on hold with like, who knows, like every company, You've been on like hold for like 5 days and they finally answer the phone. You take advantage of those moments. And let's say they say, Rabbi, the contractor said he needs to finish by the end of this month or he's not coming back. And I already paid $10,000 just to as a down payment. I'm not messing with him. It's like the surgeons who say, we only do surgery on Fridays. And technically speaking, la halacha, you shouldn't get surgery close to Shabbos. You can intrude on your own Shabbos. But if the surgeon only operates on Fridays, what can you do? So if the contractor is on your property hammering away, do you have to tell him, sir, I'm sorry? Okay, if it's your landscaper, you know, I don't think they'll be too sad. It happened. I mean, it was Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, whatever. I said, I'm so sorry. I call them usually, but they came once on a yantif, and I said, please, you know, get out of here. You know, and they said, we respect. And then they started cutting my neighbor's lawn. So I didn't feel like he needed to be machmir for the on my watch. He was in shul. I was not choshesh of him. You know, so I knew what was going on. So I didn't tell him to stop cutting his lawn as well. That being said, it was kind of funny. And they came back to my house a week later, or a day later, whatever it was. All right, so let's start. We'll try to go in the order of history. 1700. Yeah,
question.
Yeah, Peter.
What you just said. Let's say you have a roofer up there.
Yeah.
And it comes Shabbos at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
5 p.m.
Yeah.
You say you can let him stay up there?
So this is the Shaila. Meaning, Stuart keeps on pointing out the concept of Avshim Mosi. The loud noises may not be operated in your home on Shabbos. It distracts from the spirit of Shabbos. People might come to think that you're violating Shabbos. So Iker Hadin, it only seemingly applies.
Job that doesn't make a loud noise.
Right. Okay, good. So on your property, we have to figure this out. So at this point, seemingly there is room to be Mako. If no one's going to suspect you of having violated Shabbos. But even the town of Fairlawn, if there's a van parked outside of your house on Shabbos, it looks extremely shady, right? If you're in Newark and he's doing it on property away from the public view, it doesn't look shady. So right now, let's assume that if it's in the... What was that? So in Fairlawn, if there's, you know, if you're going to shul and there's some guy working on your toilet, you know, your toilet plumbing, whatever, it looks shady. It just does, you know. Right, he was already there on a Friday. Right. Okay. So, I don't want to say the word usher, but, you know, let's try to maybe get a language for it and we'll try to conclude. The no to be who the... So he was the one asked about this Shaila, literally about construction. So how does he come out over here? He wants to say the following, that it's all about minhag hamakom. Ha'mefurish l'hedjesh holchem b'zeh achar minhag hamakom. Meaning what? If everyone hires for a koblen, it's mutter. I mean, no one's going to think that Peter Weissman hired the guy for Saturday's job. You're paying him for the job to get done. Yeah, I'm saying Baltel Tam Baltel Gezerah because they know the Yehuda is saying that the whole Gezerah only applied when there was reason to be suspicious. But if the majority of the town operates through Kablanus as opposed to Schir Yom, it should be okay. But then he goes back. Oh, no. And then he says, well, no. Maybe a bias in the city, even if everyone does it, other people will come in. The onlookers are still going to suspect. They don't know what you do. Meaning, in your town, it's all kablanos. But the people coming to Fairlawn for Shabbos, maybe they operate for Schir Yom. Meaning the people in for Shabbos, they're not going to know what's flying. They're going to say, what is up with these Jews in Fairlawn? They're paying people to work for them. But let's push the Nodim Yehuda. No one pays anyone Schir Yom anymore. What is an example of where you pay someone for Schir Yom? By the day. Who's a Schir Yom? Right. Like a housekeeper, babysitter, right? Like it's just like the hour. You get paid for the hour, right?
Waiter.
Yeah, yeah, but who gets paid for the hour? Not the jobs. We're talking about jobs that are, it's all about the end product. I don't care how long you get the job done. I want the toilet fixed. I want the car fixed. It's all kablanus. So would the Noda Behuda say that it's mutter? Because he just said, the whole issue is chashar, 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 chashar. The Mishnah Brura brings this down. Sifkat and Zayin over there again, Reish Mem Dalid. Even if the minhag is all kablanus, the taz is machmer. Taz is machmer like the Noda Behuda. Because again, there's chashad. But then we have the saving line of the Mishnah Brura. The yesh shemekilin mazekish minhag ir bikablanus. The Noda Behuda. So the Mishnah Brura does validate this concept. That if the minhag is kablanus, the minhag is kablanus. And I will tell you that there is a shita of the Chazon Yechezkel, Stuart, that there is no avsha milta unless people will think that you violated Shabbos. Meaning there's a machlokus in that sugya, whether the noise is inherently problematic, or no, the problem is will people suspect you of having violated Shabbos. And the Chazon Yechezkel concludes that no, it's really mikker than only if people will suspect you of having So in this, it's seemingly the same heter. So in the same way that Noda Behuda and the Mishnah Brura would say, listen, everyone knows it's kablanos. So even from the perspective of Avsha Milsa, we can still, in my humble opinion, be lenient. So if someone says Mandelstam, these contractors, they run the show. They, if I don't let them work on my property on Shabbos, the project's not getting done. Please, can I let them operate on my home on Shabbos? And I know people who have done this. And they asked the rabbi, which rabbi did I ask? I don't know. but if I had to guess what that rabbi who was paskening, what was he thinking? So I'm just giving you what? Yeah, well, I'm giving you, I mean, the Noda Behuda, the Mishnah Brura are basically allowing it, the Ikar Adib. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also says, seemingly, it's not Usser, the Ikar Adin. He happens to be dealing with a different Shiloh where the worker was a Jew. But in the context of that Shiloh, in Or HaChaim Chelek Gimel Siman Lamed Hey, he deals with the Shiloh, he deals with the whole Sugya. And in that sugya, he concludes, he says, in our Medinos, Ubale, Shemutah She'en Lachem B'di'evet, I'm sorry. Here, he concludes, his main thing is like this. Avavada de lechatchila yesh lachem b'nesenu, sheba avonesenu harabim mezalzlin b'isurei Shabbos. So Rav Moshe at that time felt that there was a tremendous need to be machmir because people, as it was, were not good at keeping Shabbos. So if you let construction take place on Shabbos, it would just not help the cause. So shelo livnos afay de kablan akum. And again, there's a sheet of the round that we didn't get into. Is b'dievet, is it okay? Mikra din, is it okay? Maybe. But ultimately, he says it's not a good idea because it will lead to bad things. There's a wild story quoted in Rav Ribiat's Sefer. He does not quote too many stories over here. But on page 85 of the first volume, he says in the year about 1800, a fire broke out in the town of Rabbi Kivi Eger. And a large segment of the Jewish quarter was destroyed. Many homes had to be rebuilt. Rabbi Kivi Eger said, stipulate in the contract with the builders not to work on Shabbos or Yontif, meaning even though it's a compliment, he was machmir. And guess what happened? The wealthiest member of the community didn't listen, and it was built first because it was built upon on Shabbos. The people of the town were appalled by this flagrant display of insubordination to the Rav. Not long afterward, one of the beams of that house suddenly collapsed and crashed into pieces. The entire wooden frame of the house had become infested with timber decay, and the building would have to be completely demolished and rebuilt. The builders and engineers were at a loss to explain why only that particular house became infested. But to the Jews, there was no doubt as to the answer of this puzzling question. Wow. So, okay. my fancy Noda Behuda, my fancy Mishnabura, Lamaisa, you don't mess with termites, you know, so you don't mess with termites. And also the New York Times, as I was an obituary, I guess, for the famous Paul Reichman, otherwise in the Jewish circles known as Rabbi Moshe Reichman. Rabbi Moshe Reichman? Famous, I guess, philanthropist or Canadian builder. I don't know too much about him. But Rabbi Ephraim Glatt brought me to this piece of New York Times. Again, I couldn't find the original, but it's Paul, not only Moshe. And the strains of commerce and religious orthodoxy were often inseparable in the family's ventures. For example, Olympia and New York closed its construction sites on the Jewish Sabbath, paying overtime for Sunday labor and during the Jewish religious holidays, as well as Christian ones. So clearly this individual was praised. So much to say. There is a heter in the Chasam Sofer about a town similarly to the case of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So I think the Chasam Sofer, it's quoted on the Dirshu Mishabura. I need to do more work on it. Where there was like a fire, and I think he was Makil. And also there is a heter if the building does not belong to an individual, but it's more of a public building. People are not choshesh of the rabbin, the only choshesh of the individual. So again, these are all different factors into the sugya. At this point, it was 8:59. We will conclude here. All right, sorry.